How's everybody feeling tonight? Pretty hype? Just like a little hype or like crazy hype right now, right?
I like Bethesda. I think they're a publisher laser focused on quality and player friendliness far in excess of their fellow third-party brethren. Part of what I think makes them so likable, not only to me but to legions of players the world over, is that they don't hit us with loads of crap. They don't have a single annualized game or one franchise that they endlessly iterate on and run into the ground. They're not known for shady business practices or monetization tactics or for closing studios that deliver a miss. Bethesda isn't Electronic Arts or Ubisoft, two publishers that make great games in their own right, but likewise two publishers with a hollow and corporate feel. So why does Bethesda feel like it needs to replicate them when it comes to E3 press conferences? I think we can all agree that, at the very best, Bethesda's showing at E3 2018 was the tale of two conferences, with a woefully weak beginning two-thirds buttressed by a more promising yet still confusing end. The bigger question I think we should tackle is whether Bethesda needs to have an annual press conference at all. I, for one, don't think they do, and I deliver this particular showcase as Exhibit A. In roughly 90 minutes, Bethesda hit upon a dozen games, which sounds extremely promising, but let's put it into context. 5 of the 12 games are already out, and discussion around them focused on new ports, new expansions, and more. There's nothing wrong with any of that. In fact, some of the stuff discussed in this regard was interesting, but that leaves us with 7 unreleased games. Of the 7 remaining, we already knew about 3 of them, meaning that only a third of the 12 games discussed were new announcements, and 2 of those 4 newly announced games were basically title reveals for 2 next-gen projects that are years out. When you break it all down like that, and when you realize that the latter 2 games were clearly delivered to make a weak lineup feel less weak, I think it illustrates my point rather well, that a Bethesda press conference doesn't line up with their quainter output. And again, I'll reiterate that it's their intimate feel and lack of churn that makes them so damn likable, and they risk losing that feel by acting bigger than they are. I think a lot of people are going to discuss the Bethesda press conference through the prism of so-called cringe, but that's not something I want to focus on too deeply. I've spoken to huge crowds, and it's unimaginably scary. But I also think it'd be negligent of me to pretend that the cringe element wasn't there. It was there almost from the outset. I absolutely adore Andrew WK, and I have for more than 15 years, but having him come on stage to play with his band before Rage 2 was discussed was bizarre. It was like watching an E3 press conference from 10 years ago when this sort of thing was more normal. The crowd shots were brutal, it was undeniably awkward for many in attendance, and I really hope that Bethesda and its peers are paying attention. We still don't need to see that sort of thing at your pressers. Do you know Bethesda went something like 12 minutes before they even showed gameplay? The intro sequence showing the many people that make Bethesda and its studios run each day was really, really cool, but you can't go that long without showing people the goods. So making people wait through the musical number was weird. I mean, why not have Andrew and his band play while the game is being demoed? That would have been super cool and made much more sense. I said something in my EA press conference review video that I'm going to reiterate now. Not all games are made for E3, and I think Bethesda had a few examples of smaller games or smaller announcements that didn't need to be at E3 at all, or shouldn't have gotten so much airtime. The Elder Scrolls Legends, which is a mobile card game that's being ported from PC, phone, and tablet to Xbox One, PlayStation 4, and PC, probably could have been cut. And as much as I know that they want to talk about Quake Champions, I don't think we need to hear about literally every single game that's currently incubating. I even feel like there was too much time spent on the Elder Scrolls Online, even though the presenter from ZeniMax Online Studios was adorable and I want to put him in my pocket and take him home with me. I was just super grateful that we didn't get much of anything from the likes of Tango, which at least showed some restraint, although that restraint was promptly blown to smithereens by the end. A lack of restraint the opposite of what's usually shown from this studio in particular, but more on that in a bit. On the other hand, it was really cool to see more of Rage 2. Even though Pete Hines had the utter audacity to wear a Washington Capitals t-shirt while presenting, I appreciated his joke about Walmart Canada leaking Rage 2, because obviously that was a spoiled surprise, and you don't see publishers swipe back at retailers very often for ruining plans that culminate after years of hard work and preparation. When looking at the grand scheme, I don't necessarily feel bad for publishers or developers when things get leaked, but when you think about it on a personal level, it is kind of a bummer. So good on Pete for making light of it. Likewise, and I know that this isn't something many people are bound to agree with me on, I enjoyed the occasionally irreverent mood the festivities swung into. The Nazi jokes and the corny dialogue between presenters livened the mood a bit, even if it is a bit jarring to hear people randomly say fuck during typically PG affairs. And that's coming from someone who says the word fuck like every fourth or fifth word. It was very cool to see id Software showcase just a taste of the upcoming Doom sequel, Doom Eternal, which I'm very excited to play, even if it was basically the announcement of an announcement, telling us to expect more at QuakeCon in August. I hate that sort of thing usually, but I'll make an exception here because Doom rules. I found Prey woefully inadequate when I played it and was kind of shocked that it was getting any sort of critical hype at all, so I wasn't really feeling the Prey DLC presentation, though I imagine if you are a fan of the game, you'd feel quite differently. A year out, it's for sure very cool that Arkane is supporting the game with lots of free and paid updates. Possibly the most exciting non-Fallout announcement, though, was from Machine Games, who announced Wolfenstein Youngblood, which takes place in the future from Wolfenstein 2. You play in Paris in the 1980s, and puts you in the boots of BJ's twin daughters. That sounds totally cool, even if it is a co-op game, which struck me as odd, since Machine Games seem to have been one of the only studios that truly understood the sanctity of the single-player experience. But if that meandering into multiplayer struck you as weird, then the marquee game of the press conference is really going to throw you for a loop. Fallout 76, the new game from Bethesda Game Studios, the team behind Fallout and The Elder Scrolls that now has three separate offices around North America, is an all-new multiplayer online Fallout game, which on the face of it is super unfortunate. But I kind of found peace with it after the news of Fallout 76 broke over the last couple of weeks, and so I went in with low expectations, and my expectations were certainly far exceeded. When Todd Howard came on stage with his Cloud City-like jacket, he explained away some of my fears. For starters, Fallout 76 can be played alone, and that's pretty awesome, considering it otherwise resembles your traditional Fallout game from gameplay, presentation, and design perspectives. I don't know that they needed to spend much time showing the game. Long presentations tend to bore me regardless of what I'm looking at. But I also understand that since Fallout 76 represents such a sudden left turn for both the franchise and the studio, that they needed to hold everyone by the hand and leave no stone unturned and no question unanswered. I also appreciate that they're releasing the game in November, keeping within a newer tradition of announcing Fallout and then quickly launching it. Unfortunately, though, Todd Howard ended things with two of the strangest announcements I've seen out of Bethesda in recent years. Not because these games exist, but because they were so clearly shown to buff out the press conference, which was going to have a fairly difficult time justifying its own existence up to that point, and because these games are so incredibly distant. First, Mr. Howard announced an all-new IP being incubated at Bethesda Game Studios called Starfield. He introduced the game as next generation, meaning that it's quite far out, and which means that there's literally no reason to talk to us about it right now. We're getting game announcements before we're getting the announcements of the hardware those games will run on. It makes no sense. Then he took it a step further, announcing what we already knew was inevitably in development, The Elder Scrolls 6. Furthermore, he noted that this game was going to be after Starfield, which means that it's not only next generation, but it's incredibly far out, as opposed to just being far out. These two announcements seemed so profoundly and utterly un-Bethesda that I was shocked. I just don't get it. I'm not really sure what else to say. Finally, I'm a little torn on Bethesda's big last playable game, The Elder Scrolls Blades. Blades is a mobile-centric Elder Scrolls game that looks and feels a great deal like your typical Elder Scrolls, taking place in 3D with pretty advanced controls and a modular approach to platforms, scaling from small phones to VR rigs on high-end PCs. I see the ambition here, and I see how proud Bethesda is of Fallout Shelter, which Todd Howard reminded us was played by more people than every single game Bethesda Game Studios has ever made combined. That's all well and good, but why are you showing this game after Fallout 76? Perhaps it's a small gripe, but that seemed out of order and kind of diminished Fallout 76 as a marquee title, which was only made worse when what are essentially two game names were announced just because. It makes me sad to be so hard on Bethesda because I tend to like their games and I certainly like their mantra of quality over quantity. But with 10 studios and few ongoing external tethers outside of Avalanche, who is making Rage 2, it seemed like some nothingness and some premature announcements buffed out a game roster that just didn't justify a show. I mean, the beginning of Fallout 76 presentation was line by line identical to what we saw earlier in the day at the Xbox conference, so why not just spend an extra 10 minutes showcasing it there? I'm sure Microsoft and Sony would have loved to fight over Rage 2, Doom Eternal, and Wolfenstein Youngblood for their conferences too, and frankly, everything else didn't really need to be shown at this scale at all. I think Bethesda's approach should be recalibrated moving forward. Only have a conference every 2 or 3 years, really blow us away with your showing, and remain small, nimble, and distinct from your competition all the while. Leverage your demand amongst the first parties to showcase your games with them, and leave the event of an E3 press conference for when it's truly necessary.
And as we're about to show you, they delivered big time.